Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Beats. 8:05 Central Time, that means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Dr. David Smith, pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. And also, they are the Church of the Week here on Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Dr. Smith.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning, helping us study God's Word this morning. Tell us about St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri.
St. Paul's has a long history. It's 166 years old, and it is located on the corner of Manchester and Ballas Roads in De Pere, Missouri, just east of Highway 270, across from West County Shopping Center. The church, we have a school, kindergarten through eighth grade. We also have an early childhood center, infants up to preschool. And so we have a very active ministry here. And part of the reason that we wanted to be Church of the Week is because of a highlight that we're celebrating this coming Sunday, the 40th anniversary celebration of St. Paul's Handbell Choirs.
Very good.
40 years ago, they were begun here with a group of St. Paul's school mothers under the direction of Carol Petering. And Carol Petering has been the director for all 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Over 100 individuals have participated in various ensembles, and there's still a few members who have been ringers for all 40 years.
Wow.
So this Sunday, we're going to have a special concert March the 8th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a Music at St. Paul's event, and it will feature our adult handbell choir, a women's handbell choir, and also a unique feature, Carol Petering actually plays a solo with her own set of handbells, accompanied by her husband Don on the piano. So the bells will be set up in front of the church so people can actually watch the ringers and the different techniques that they use. So we're inviting everyone in the community to come and hear the concert by our handbell choirs.
Well, very good. And what was the time again for that event?
That is 4 o'clock this Sunday, March the 8th.
Very good. Very good. Well, how exciting. Great music. St. Paul's always has great music there.
We have a history of that.
That's a great part of your history there at St. Paul, isn't it?
That is correct. And the music at St. Paul's provides several opportunities that are open to everyone every year at Christmas and Ascension Day and other special events that we invite the community to join us for the music here at St. Paul's.
Well, very good. Well, we are studying Mark chapter 6 today, verses 35 through 56. What would you like for us to know about the text before we dig in?
It's an important text in that more is going on here than just a couple of miracles. Sometimes we're tempted to look at the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water as just great events that we kind of marvel at. But there's more going on here because Jesus is revealing who he really is.
Well, very good. Let's dig in. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 6 today, verses 35 through 56. Listeners, if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 56 with Reverend Dr. David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. Here we go, Mark 6, verse 35. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in the groups, by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. All right. So it grew late. His disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something themselves to eat. Pastor?
Yes. And what we want to do here is look beyond just what's going on to the whole context of Scripture. And what we see here is so many parallels to the Old Testament. They were in a desolate place. They were in the wilderness when they wandered in the wilderness in the Old Testament. The primary food here is loaves. The primary food there was the manna from heaven. And what we see here is Jesus portraying himself so that we see that he is the same God that provided the manna in the wilderness in the Old Testament. It was more than 200 denarii that they needed to buy bread. That's about 200 days' wages. That's over a year's wages, half a year's wages. It would truly take a miracle to provide for the people. There's a couple of interesting words in here that it specifically says that they were to sit down in groups on the green grass. If we think about that, we remember the 23rd Psalm, that he will bring us into green pastures. Another important word is it says they sat down in groups. Actually, the word is they reclined at table. We see that word throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament when they recline at table. They didn't have chairs. They reclined on mats. And when they reclined, it was an important event. And what we see here is kind of the picture of a banquet of Jesus feeding them all. They're in green pastures. They're reclining at table. They're relaxed. And he is in their midst. Now, it kind of reminds us of Exodus 24. Exodus 24 is when God confirmed his covenant with the people. And Exodus 24, beginning of verse 9, reads, then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. And isn't that really what's going on here? Jesus is revealing himself as God. And the people are literally eating and drinking with him. Not only here, because now in the Old Testament, God was on the Mount Sinai. Now he is in the flesh walking among the people, providing them with the loaves, just as God provided the manna in a wilderness, in a desert place. But even more importantly, all of this points to the banquet at the end of time, when we will literally be with Jesus. We will see him, and we will feast forever. So there's a lot more happening here than Jesus feeding 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of points us forward, and it reminds us of the past, too.
When the disciples come and say, you know, should we send them to go buy something to eat? And Jesus says, but you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii of worth of bread and give it to them to eat?
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't get it. And mm-hmm. and that's what we see here. And we're going to see a line at the end of the next section. They just don't get it. Now they'll see this miracle. They'll see him produce the food to feed the 5,000. But they're not even putting two and two together. They're not seeing Jesus for who he really is. At this point, he's just a miracle worker. And they haven't put all this together. They just don't get it.
So he sends them, or he says to them, you give them something to eat. And they ask, should we give him bread? Or, you know, should we go buy just bread? And then he says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they just have 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Yeah, and sometimes we always try to read things into those numbers. If you add 5 and 2, you get 7. And, of course, that's the perfect number. The emphasis on the loaves, not on the fish, but we shouldn't try to read too much of that into it. But he has them sit down in groups, and it's kind of a having them sit down in groups on green grass, that kind of emphasizes that this is a almost a festive occasion when he's going to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
People then just didn't have much. He's going to give them an abundance. They're going to eat their fill and have leftovers. That was kind of unheard of in their day.
And so they sat down in groups by hundreds, by fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all.
Yes, and certainly those words that he looked up to heaven, said a blessing and broke the loaves. That reminds us of the Lord's Supper, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That he took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples. Now, certainly, we can't read too much of that into it, but it certainly points us in that direction. He feeds us ultimately, not only physically,
mm-hmm.
but spiritually, with his forgiveness. That he will ultimately earn for the people and for us, and gives us that as a gift, just as he did the bread here.
And they all ate and were satisfied.
That's right. And as we said, that was rare.
Mm-hmm.
Food was rare then. Somebody that could provide them with an abundance was looked at as a very special person. Very special.
And they took up the baskets, 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men.
Right. 12 baskets, again, someone to look at that and say, well, that's like the 12 tribes of Israel, pointing backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also could be the 12 disciples, which is the New Testament church. But again, let's not read too much into that. That's not the real focus. He is certainly revealing himself as the same God that provided in the past. We also have to remember that there were thousands more people served 5,000 men plus women and children. So there were at least double that he fed that day.
Hmm. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying this text in Mark chapter 6. We're studying today with Dr. David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more as we study God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Smith from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, the KFUO Church of the Week. We're in Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 56. Pastor, any other comments about that first section before we go on to the next section, before we go on to verses 45 and following?
No, let's just go on because it kind of builds on that.
All right, let's go on to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but they saw him walking on the sea. They thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. All right, so immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd.
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting that he made his disciples get into the boat. He constrained them to get into the boat. Why would that be? Well, one conjecture is this, that after the feeding of the 5,000, the people were so excited that they had had an abundance that they might have tried to make him king. And, you know, that was always kind of a theme. The Gospel of Mark is very much focused on Jesus fulfilling his mission, and Jesus does not want it revealed exactly who he is so he can fulfill that mission. Maybe he constrained them because it was time to leave, because people had thoughts about making Jesus a king when he came as a suffering servant.
And so they get into the boat, and as they get out onto the water, after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray.
That is correct.
And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. They weren't getting very far. There were a lot of wind.
Right. And he saw that. He observed that. Now, it says that that was the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is 3 to 6 in the morning. Okay? So, in the middle of the night is when he came to them. They weren't making progress. Evidently, this windstorm was beating them back, and he came to them.
And how did he come to them? Well, walking on the water.
he walked on the water. Now, this is significant again, because he is showing he is the God of creation, that this is his creation. And here again, he's showing who he is. The emphasis is on who this is. And again, the disciples don't exactly get it, but he comes to them showing that he is the God of creation. He walks on the sea, again pointing to the Old Testament when he parted the sea for the people of Israel to walk across.
Truly King of creation.
Yes.
So when they see him on the sea, well, he meant to pass by them, the scriptures say.
Yeah, that's a weird statement. I mean, he came to them for the specific reason that they weren't making any progress. Why would he simply pass by? And I think one of the images, again, from the Old Testament is, you remember when Moses wanted to see God, and God told him that he could not see his face, but he would pass by. And Moses could see his back through the cleft in the rock. Well, that pass by, maybe the disciples thought he was just trying to pass by, but there's no doubt Jesus wanted to be seen. This was a revelation of Jesus as the King of creation.
And so when they see him, they think he's a ghost.
That's right. You see, they just don't get it. They just don't get it.
I'd probably be like them. I'd be freaked out.
Right. You would be freaked out to see somebody walk across the water. Yeah.
So they think he's a ghost and cried out for all they saw, for they all saw him and they were afraid. They were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid."
Okay, terrified, that word is used over and over again many times when human beings behold an action of God. So it's they're seeing an action of God and they are terrified. What is really important, he says, "Take heart, it is I." And again, it's hard to miss this because in Greek, "it is I" is
ego in me,
I am, pointing us back to the God that talked to Moses from the burning bush. I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel that I am has sent you. This is I am, walking on the water. Again, just like Jesus revealed himself by feeding the people with loaves, as he did with manna in the Old Testament, so now he shows he's the God of creation. The same God that parted the sea, now he walks on the water. It is I. I am.
And so he gets into the boat with them, and he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So he gets into the boat, and the wind stops.
Right. The wind stops. Another sign that he is the God of creation. Interesting that their hearts are hardened, because this reminds us that while the disciples marveled when he fed the 5,000 and marveled when he walked on water and the wind ceased, at this point, they still didn't get it, that this was God, and this he had come with a purpose to save them. And while they saw it and they observed it, they did not understand what was going on. They did not fully comprehend. They would like him to continue to do these kinds of things and be his followers. But as soon as he talks about fulfilling his purpose, his mission, suffering and dying on a cross, Peter says, don't go. Don't go.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what he's really here for, who he really is, and what he's really here for. They sometimes they get it right. Jesus says, you know, who am I? And Peter says, you are the Christ. But in the very next account, he's telling Jesus not to go to the cross. Anybody would rather follow Jesus, who feeds the multitudes and calms the storms, rather than the Jesus who would die on a cross.
And that, how is that different from how people today view Jesus?
Again, you know, you get the impression sometimes that they want miracle workers.
Mm-hmm.
They want a miracle. And sometimes people pray only when they need a miracle. But that's not the Jesus we know. The Jesus we know suffered for us. And as coming in the flesh, now he suffers with us through the things that we go through in life. There aren't miracles for everything in life. There aren't miracle answers to everything. There are crosses to bear. And just as Jesus Christ bore the cross, so sometimes we have to in our lives. The disciples wanted the good parts, but they didn't want the cross. And, you know, that's a lot like people are today. That's a lot like we all are.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather have the good times.
That's that old Adam nature in us, right?
It is. That old Adam. And our highest goal is to avoid crosses and to avoid suffering. But the way of the cross, Jesus suffered the cross before the glory came. There is glory promised us, but there are also crosses to bear.
Let's go on to the next section, verse 53, okay, to the end here, to 56. So, when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that he might touch even the fringe of his garment, that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. So
Okay. They
crossed over and came to Gennesaret and moored to the shore and got out of the boat, and people started swarming.
That's right. This is a point in the Gospel of Mark. This is kind of 53 to 56 is kind of a summary statement of the first section of Mark. He is now recognized. He is now known. He is no longer some obscure figure.
Mm-hmm.
The people recognize him, and again, they're seeking that miracle worker. So they line up with the sick, be it themselves or relatives, because they want him to heal them. Again, not particularly focused on who he is and why he's here, but that he can do miracles. And so they bring the sick, and they want a miracle.
And Prior to this, they see this miracle. They see miraculous things. He feeds all the people. He walks on water. I guess we can see it more from the bigger perspective, but they want a miracle. They don't want, as you pointed out, they don't want the cross.
They don't want the cross. When he goes to the cross, we see it, the people see it as a failure,
mm-hmm.
that he has failed. They thought he was the Christ, but certainly being nailed to the cross would affirm that he's not the Christ. So they did not have an understanding all the way back from the Old Testament that the servant that would save them was a suffering servant, and they had no concept of that. They loved the miracles.
I'm glad you pointed out that many see the cross as a failure. I mean, thinking about Good Friday, there are misconceptions about that Good Friday, that it was a failure, that evil had won. But that's not it at all, is it?
That's not it at all. Christ looked so weak on the cross, and yet he was the victor. That's why Scripture talks about the cross as a stumbling block. People can't get past it. How is the cross a victory? How is the cross conquering for us? It looks like a failure, and yet it's the very power and victory of God. But that's a stumbling block to many people. They can't go there. That's too much for them. The cross is a stumbling block. But to us who are being saved, it's the power and wisdom of God. And so we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, not the way we want him to be, mm-hmm. the miracle worker, but who he really is. The Word made flesh come among us for the mission to save us.
And wherever he came, in villages, cities, countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. So even just a little bit, even just a little bit of this miracle worker, that we might be made well.
That's right. If they even touch the fringe of his garment, and of course we have the woman with the flow of blood who touched his garment and was made well, and evidently that also happened in this case. And you can imagine, you can only imagine the frenzy of the people when he walked in their midst and they simply touched his garment and were healed. It would set off a frenzy. But again, a frenzy focusing on the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
focusing on making him the Messiah king. And of course, he is king, but the cross would come first.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text when we look at it as a whole?
I think that chief thing is to, as we look at it as a whole, is to see how Jesus is revealing himself as the God of the Old Testament, who is now made flesh in their midst. He is the God of creation. He is the provider, but he has a mission, and that mission is to save us. And while the people then didn't see that, we have the ability, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see that now. So we need to look at the big picture of who Jesus is and not just what he's doing.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with the Reverend Dr. David Smith, pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, and Church of the Week on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Smith, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this text in Mark 6 today.
My pleasure.
God's blessings. God bless you and all the saints there at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help start off your morning as well, and morning prayer coming up during the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.